This is something you mentioned to me that I think you said you saw a trailer for it that is Private Peaceful. So this is World War One. So how did you learn about this?
I was watching some DVD about it was either George Gently or maybe one of the Poirot TV series done by British Television, and in the at the opening, it had a bunch of things to watch on DVD, and that's where I saw Private Peaceful.
So I didn't do a ton of research because I figure it's better to mostly go in blind. But the basics are it was based on a book by Michael Morpurgo, who seems to still be going. This guy's been writing books forever. He's in his 80s. He's written all kinds of books. And it looks like what he's most well known for is there's a book called War Horse from 1982 that got made into a Steven Spielberg movie in 2011 that I did not see, but apparently was good. I do find Steven Spielberg in general, he's very schmaltzy, so I tend to not watch his films, but I don't know, maybe that one is okay. And he also wrote this book, Private Peaceful, and a lot of his books are set in World War One, and they are kind of like young adult books, but again, obviously like well written, if you know they're making Spielberg movies and stuff about them. So this one, Private Peaceful, the movie came out in 2012. The book came out, let's see, 2003. So, still one of his more recent books. And yeah, that's all I know about it, really.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, shan't beat about the bush. I shan't tell you it's all tickety-boo out there in France. It's an hard slog. But there's only one question you need to ask yourselves about this war. Who would you rather see marching through your streets? Us lot or the Hun? Because if we don't beat them over there, they'll come marching through right here, burning your houses, violating your women, killing your children. They've already beaten brave little Belgium, but now they've taken a fair slice of France too. If we don't beat them at their own game, they'll gobble us up as well. Well, do you want the Hun here?
No!
Do you?
No!
Shall we blast them to kingdom come?
Yes!
And we shall need you. And all the brave lads out in France need you.
Well, that was very well done.
Yeah, definitely. I think, I don't know, maybe a strange way to go into it was just when I was, you know, doing the little research before we watched it. Just this idea that it's a young adult novel, I think really threw me off because I think I have a very different idea of what a young adult novel is. Like, I think of, like, I don't know, North American crap, like Twilight or something, where this was, what the heck was young adult about this? This was like the bleakest thing I've ever seen in my life. You know, like, I mean, I guess it's nice that he didn't sugarcoat things for a teenage audience. But man, yeah, that was a very harsh story.
The only thing about young adult about it is that the people involved, for the most part, are young adults. That's all.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I guess, I mean, this is obviously the better way to do it since it's, you know, based on actual historical. Apparently, I don't know, just the British Army killed like hundreds of their own people for, you know, desertion or not following orders, all this crazy shit. So it would be disingenuous to, to soften it at all. But I guess right from the get-go, I mean, like when he was a kid and the dad dies, you know, right away I was like, okay, here we go. This is what we're in for. This is gonna be, get ready for all of your heartstrings to get pulled. And that is what happened. That's what it was.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what war's like. I mean, it's pretty friggin' brutal. But can you imagine a life like that sergeant? I mean, that's obviously that man's entire life, and you just spend it going around bossing people around and yelling and screaming at people. God, you got nothing else going for you. But there's all kinds of army types, police types, there are all kinds of people that's their life. It's all a power trip.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only, I mean, obviously I have no experience in that side of life at all, I guess, like, trying to look at their side of it, the only, I mean, there's still, like, obviously, you know, with this story, like, we get to know these people, so it's especially upsetting to, you know, watch somebody get killed for no good reason just because they didn't follow the right orders in the war. But I'm thinking of, like, that that military high-up guy that they showed at the end who signed off on the...
Colonel Haig. Yeah.
Just playing pool or whatever, but just hanging out. I mean, I guess I can see from their side, like, it must just be infuriating to have soldiers that aren't following orders when, you know, like, they're legitimately worried that the Germans are going to take over everything, you know? I mean, I'm not saying it's the right thing to do. It's like a crazy way to live or to run anything.
I know, but those are the higher ups, the higher echelon guys, you know, they're playing it safe, hanging out in a pool room. Even the guys that are doing the court-martial, I mean, they all stayed behind the front lines. They had good, safe billets, lots of food. Most of them were people who were from wealthy families, and that's how they got their position in the army of being like a general or a colonel or a whatever. They weren't guys who ever saw action. Meanwhile, here's all these poor plebs from out in the sticks, young guys, anywhere from, like, I mean, our hero there was 16 when he went in. His brother is 19. They're the guy, you know, simple farmer types, and they're just fodder, you know, just whatever. You break the rules, oh, yeah, well, we'll just shoot you ourselves. So it's like they're just numbers.
Yeah, it's one of those stories that, I mean, I guess all I can do is just be glad that I didn't live in that time. Because, like, you can't, it's like being in a straitjacket. Like, you can't even think of a way out of it. Like, if I was in that scenario, nothing different would have happened. I would have been the one who got shot. You know, like, there's no way out of it. It's just, man, yeah, it's just the brutality of the past, you know?
And then the joke was how they did the recruitment. Honor your king, honor your queen. And then the little old lady saying to him when he leaves at the very beginning, because he is only 16, coward, coward, coward. Well, she's not going to front up. She's not going to the front lines either, that old bag. But that whole promotional thing of for God and country. And then when he finally does go, he says, you know, the money is better than what he's making. So there was that. There was all these young guys who just, you know, went off to fight for king and country. And then later, when they couldn't get enough guys, they brought in conscription and they forced you to go. You had no choice. So then you had people, especially in the French community, cutting off their toes and things so they wouldn't have to go. Damaging their feet so they wouldn't have to go, like injuring themselves. That was around 1917 when that started. Like, Christ, it's just sick.
Yeah, I was going to say that would be my only way out that I could imagine is like, yeah, well, if I had an old lady telling me, you're not brave, you're not a man, I'd be like, that's true, that's fine, old lady. You know, I'll just keep working at the baling hay and cleaning the stalls, that's fine. But yeah, like you mentioned, eventually I would just be conscripted and it would just happen anyway. So yeah, just, man, how awful.
I just read, I finished reading it a second time a couple of months ago, All Quiet on the Western Front. And it is from the German perspective. And it's a young man on the German side and life during the war. And he mentions the gas and there's lots of really, it was a terrible war. I mean, all wars are terrible, but that one especially, because they were in those trenches and they didn't move for years. It was just a war of attrition. Like they might gain a couple of feet and then they'd be pushed back a couple of feet. And that went on for years and years, and people just were just slaughtered, and horses slaughtered, and animals slaughtered. Like, ugh, just, and they got nowhere. But I thought these guys did a very good job of showing, you know, what a miserable existence that is. And how these were just simple country types. And a whole lot of those people, they were just people from farms. And they had never known anything like that. they went off at the glory and the uniform and, you know, things like women love a man in uniform, you know, those little cliches and you know, these guys, they bought right into it. And of course, if they didn't in their small community, you get little old ladies screaming and yelling at you that you were a coward. And the whole damn town probably felt that way. So you were ostracized. So they covered a whole lot of, they didn't just tell a story. They covered a whole lot of avenues of people who were involved, higher ups that were involved, the family left at home, the girl in France who, you know, he's got kind of got an interest in, and all she's doing is delivering food to the front. She gets blown up. It's just like that. She had nothing to, none of them had anything to do with any of this stuff, but especially a girl like her, the little French girl, all she's doing is making a delivery to the army and gets caught in a bomb blast. Like, Jesus. So they, I thought they did a very, very good job of really showing all kinds of angles. And of course, then you're thinking at the end, oh, that court-martial, that's not going to happen. The court-martial will, but the shooting at the end. But no, it happened. Put the little white spot over his heart. And...
yeah, which again, I guess if it was obviously it is fictional in the sense that those weren't actual soldiers, but if it was a more fictional story, I'm sure, yeah, there would have been something that would have happened at the end to save the day. But I guess just because he wanted to shine a light on this historical shame of the way the British Army acted in World War One, yeah, it's like you kind of have to have it end that way, you know, because that's the truth. That's what happened.
Yeah. And in World War One, especially, there was all this thing about how evil the Germans were. But they're all cut from the same cloth. They were all British German aristocracy. They all had common blood ties. And it's just showing you that the British weren't all that wonderful. Every army, if you're guilty of court martial, that's it. You get executed. So they're just showing you that the Brits weren't the glory gods or the wonder gods or whatever. They were just like everybody else. They were out to, take control, stop the Germans. I mean, there were stories that were going around how the Hun were baby killers and baby eaters and, you know, all this propaganda, big time. And these guys, yeah, they did an okay job of showing how the Brits were just as bad at their propaganda as were everybody else. Canadians were just as bad. We were sending our fellows over there to fight for God and country, for the Brits. And our stuff is, you know, Sam Bull wants you, King and Country wants you, pick up your gun and off you go, guy. And you're just some young fella who's maybe 16, 18, 19 years old. But you're supposed to go for God and country. But it was pretty friggin' brutal.
So yeah, I guess we'll tie this into, it'll probably be a little bit, take a little break from, because yeah, that really was, that's a hell of a heavy story. So we'll take a little break before we get into more of this guy's stuff. But I am curious because yeah, I do feel like they did a very good job of that and they really didn't sugarcoat it and it really was quite a harsh story. But that when I was reading that War Horse is by the same author and that's the big multi-million-dollar Steven Spielberg version of one of his World War One stories. And I really am curious because I mean, maybe Spielberg will get his shit together and take it seriously, but I feel like so many Steven Spielberg movies are very schmaltzy and he just has a very, I don't know. I'm very curious to see how he handles one of this guy's novels. So at some point we'll have to check that out and see how the lower budget Irish production stands up to the super expensive Hollywood production. I have a feeling the Irish one is better, but at some point in the future, we'll check that out and see how the two line up. Because, yeah, I mean, even for a quote-unquote lower budget thing, I mean, I don't know. What else would you need? Like, I don't know what you would have done. Even if they had millions of dollars extra to make this movie, I mean, what else could you add? You know, it's just, it is just country folk who get enlisted and the horrors of war, you know, like everything that needed to be shown was shown. So, yeah, I do feel like that was pretty well done.
And they did a very good job of having like a lot of local color. Of course, I guess in Britain, you can do that without spending a whole lot of money because they've got so many like little villages that are centuries old and have never changed, housing that is centuries old. You know, they haven't just taken everything and modernized everything. They really seem to value a lot of their historical stuff. So you get like those little villages that have with the thatched roofs and the big old churches and the, you know, the great little old graveyards that are like centuries old. So yeah, you can probably create a whole lot of local color without breaking the bank.
Yeah, I guess it's similar to when we were watching All Creatures Great and Small. You were mentioning that too, that there's still those places still to this day kind of look like the old All Creatures Great and Small show. But yeah, so this is a similar thing, just a much, much less fun subject.
So is this a TV series? Like this thing obviously ended there, but there's got to be more to it than just what we saw.
No, I mean, I think that's it. That's the novel. The novel ends there. So it was just this one movie production.
Okay.
Like, I don't know at what level the movie was, like if it was a TV movie or if it was in theaters, like it might not have been a theatrical thing, but let me see.
Well, I mean, that was a suitable ending. He's still in jail for whatever reason. I guess they're not going to let him go. No, he was out when they actually shot the brother. He was out. And then they end off with the little boy, the little baby boy going down the road with the family behind him. And, you know, I guess you're left with, okay, wait another 20 years. He's going to be in the same boat because that's what happened.
Wow. I'm just looking here. So yeah, there is they do list a box office amount here. So this did play in theaters, you know, probably only in the UK, but it did play in theaters a bit. And it says in 2006, 306 British and Commonwealth soldiers who were executed were posthumously pardoned, but for offenses including cowardice, desertion, insubordination, and sleeping at their posts. Like, you certainly don't need to shoot someone for sleeping at their post. Like, you definitely want to reprimand them, but that's a little fucking much. Like, come on. But I suppose nice of them to posthumously pardon the mill, though it would have been nicer to not shoot 300 of your own men, you know?
Yeah, or pardon them before posthumous. I suppose, see, that was the lesson, though, for everybody else. Toe the line, buddy, or guess what? We'll shoot you. You don't have to worry about the Hun doing it. We'll do it.
Yeah, so definitely. I mean, maybe it's strange that I'm bringing this up so much, but that really was, it was so much darker and more brutal than I expected. But it is, I mean, given the subject matter, I mean, that's what they had to do. I don't know how else you could tell that story.